Hi everyone, it is so great to be with you for Vision Sunday across the Chapel Collective. Be with you technologically. We're so excited to be sharing the vision of the Chapel Collective broadly, and then to be able to express that locally is really exciting as well. You know, our church is unique in style across the Chapel Collective, but singular in purpose, and Vision Sunday is somewhere where we really orientate around that. So I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then Daz is going to kick off into our Vision Sunday. So Lord, we bring everything to you right now. We thank you for inspired thought and inspired vision. Mm. We pray that you would accomplish it through us in Jesus' name, and let everything that's not of you, Lord God, just fall away and not get accomplished, and we're totally fine with that as well. Mm. We just submit and surrender to your will in this place right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bronwyn Hillary. Hi, everybody. It's great to be with you on Vision Sunday. And look, we're really prayerful, as I'm sure you are, as we launch into this and head into the year. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to lay everything out for you. The chapel, broadly, as a collective. We're going to talk about that for a few minutes. Later on, your pastor is going to talk about the chapel locally, where you are. And in between that, we're going to talk about the theme that threads the whole year and the whole Chapel Collective to get Chapel Collective together this year. So let's get straight into it as we do. This year, really, I think it's going to be an expansive story as a church. And I think it's going to be a year of what we'll talk about, the one. It's about 10 collectively. We talk about 10 strong. This idea that a bunch of years ago God placed in Bron and my heart when it seemed impossible that we would be a 10 location strong church. And so from that moment to this, through COVID and everything, we kind of moved towards it. And so, you know, that first bit, 10. And this year, of course, we begin the rebuild and beyond in Narrabri as it becomes part of the Chapel Collective. And we launch in Port Macquarie as it launches as part of the Chapel Collective. And we continue to move that God-appointed future that He's placed in our heart of being 10 strong. And so 10, that's the collective bit. And then there's strong, and that's the local church. You know, it'd be pointless to have a bunch of locations without strength and thriving local churches in each place. And so your pastor is going to speak to that in terms of what it looks like to continue to build strong. We're in a strong place, but what does next level strong look like where you live, the church you're part of locally? And so your pastor is going to speak to that. And what I want to do right now is talk to you about the theme over the year that Bron and I really have prayed through, and really it's going to thread all of the Chapel Collective together. And it's simply this: the one. We want to mobilize more people than ever on mission to reach the one. And so let me explain that to you. Matthew chapter 18 from verse 12, it says, what do you think? Jesus is speaking. He says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and to go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I truly tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones perish. And what we see here in this story about leaving the 99 to go after the one, not to just hang out with the one to the exclusion of the 99, but to bring the one back amongst the 99, what we see here is absolutely the heart of God. This is who He is. This is what He's about. The Bible talks about that He holds back even the culmination of time because He would not have that even one person perish. That's what's holding Him back. Not my promotion, not your job, not our pool, not anything. It's the one that He might reach yet. And so this talks about that. And of course, Jesus saw the one. In the midst of all the crowds, Jesus always saw the one. And Jesus went after the one. He wasn't against the crowds. He loved the harvest potential of the crowds. But Jesus was in, at the same time, in relentless pursuit of the one. It's interesting, actually. Jesus did love the crowd. He loved the harvest potential of the crowd. He always saw the one. And He said the harvest issue was not really the crowd, and nor was it the one, but it was the labor force that would go after it. And so for us this year, we really want to be about that. I mean, think about it for a moment. Think about the idea. You know, hopefully you've had a great worship service today. And in the middle of a church like ours, there might be a God encounter moment, or there might be something as powerful as baptism. There might be a worship song that just everybody's heart responds to. There might be a great Vision Sunday preach. There's all sorts of things that are incredible and God loves and God moves in. But you know, heaven doesn't stop and celebrate any of that. What the Bible says is that every time a person turns to faith in Jesus, every time a sinner turns to the Savior, that every single time heaven celebrates. That's how vital the one is to him. And that's why in this time, right now, as the Chapel Collective, we want to turn our focus to mobilizing more people than ever in relentlessly pursuing the one. And so that's the big reason. But there's another reason for us as a church, and it's this. In 2020, we all lived through COVID. In 2021, we all hit repeat. In 2022, we as a church determined that the thing that needed to happen next was a real focus for the year on stand firm, a stand firm faith. We wanted to make a decision that whatever drift had gone on in the absence of us coming together, that we drew a line in the sand and we started to really focus on devotion. And so 2022, we did that. And in 2023, we made the focus Acts Like Family, Feels Like Home, because we believe in thriving Acts 2 churches. And so with all that said, this year, you'll notice that all of that looks a little bit inward. And it's been necessary on the back of COVID. But right now, what we want to do is shift. We want to shift and begin to look outward, begin to look intentionally outward at a next level. And so that's what we're about here today as we set up the year. Intentionally outward at a next level in terms of mobilizing more people than ever, relentlessly in pursuit of the one. And so with that in mind, we're going to talk about it in just a moment. Bron's going to come. And I just ask you right now at the start of this year that you and I would begin to think about the ones all around us, in our household, beyond it, our workplace, all around us, our sphere of influence, everywhere we look, see and move, that we'd start to think about the ones as Bronnie comes and really just lays out where to from here.
The one, how amazing is that? I love it. I love that Jesus has these scandalous mathematics of grace, as Philip Yancey says, where he'd leave 99 to go after the one. He cares that intimately about the one and yet still passionately cares about everyone at the same time. Who's the one in your life, I wonder? So essentially, that's what we're going to be thinking about in term one. In term one, we're going to be thinking about two things. One is, who is that one for you? If you were to identify one person that you would love to reach, love to see reached, who would that be? And the determination, particularly among these 21 days of prayer and fasting, but throughout the whole year, that you are going to commit to praying for that person every day. I suggest you engage with a trigger, like getting in the car on the way to work. As soon as you're driving away from home, you begin to pray for that person. Maybe it's the shower, you're praying for that person, whatever it looks like. Praying for the one in your life. Also, during this term, we're going to be talking about identifying a person of peace. Now, in some locations, you've already talked about that, but we're going to refresh that, go deep on that, about really understanding what is a person of peace. How do we recognize where God is already at work? Then we have Easter. And Easter is a wonderful time where the nation still associates Easter somewhat with Jesus' death and resurrection. Obviously, lots of people just think it's the Easter bunny, but in the news cycle, there's images of churches and whatnot. We're going to be thinking about how do we invite around Easter. After Easter, term two is Alpha, and we'll be having Alpha available to anyone who wants to engage with Alpha. And maybe that might be the time to invite your one to Alpha. Term three, we're going to be furthering and looking at building a discipleship culture, specifically reading the Bible with someone. It's called Bible Discovery Method. You're going to hear more about it. And we're going to take building a discipling culture further and deeper in our churches. Then term four, we have this incredible season of invitation. We have one day Sunday. If you've ever thought about coming to church one day, then this is your day. We promote around that. We invite around that. Then we have At the Movies, which is a really simple invitation for people to come to. We had a girl come to Tamworth Church last year who said, I just love this concept. And so I come to church at this time of year. God must be working in her. And then obviously Christmas, heading into Christmas and inviting around there as well. Very specific, very strategic ways of thinking about the one. And so I wonder if God would put it on your heart right now. Maybe it's just flung into your mind who that one might be. There's a mix there of invitation and of going. We're going to go and we're going to invite people to come. And so the one this year, it's going to be super exciting. I'm going to hand over to your location pastor to hear more.
Good morning, everyone. If you're visiting, you've come on our Vision Sunday, which means things are a little bit different to what they are normally. You can just chill and relax and be yourself and just take it all in if you like. And for the rest of us, I'm really excited about this morning, and I hope that my prayer is that we would just all, our hearts would all become, you know, one, and we would all be in one place with regards to the year. So what might this look like in Armada? What Pastor Bron and Pastor Darren have just talked about, going after the one, that's exciting. We've, like Pastor Darren said, we've had a few inward kind of years. Who did anyone, like, you loved COVID lockdowns, like you loved being at home? Same, dude. It was so good. But here we are in the normal world, somewhat normal, and we're kind of regrouping, and we had Stand Firm in 2022, Acts Like Family Feels Like Home. And so this year, the one, our outward expression for the good of the one in its many forms, the one who might come here to ACC if you're visiting this morning. Maybe that's you, I don't know. And then beyond our walls as well. Because who knows, it's so cool to have a wonderful church to come to on Sunday. But actually, that's not all there is to our faith. So we want to speak to that idea this morning. We live in a city, even though we're a country city, and a culture in general that is just overwhelmed and saturated with information. Have you realized that? Have you ever felt like that? I don't know if you have. If you're big on social media, maybe you feel like that because it's just coming at you all the time. Information, advertisements, all of these kinds of distractions. And the one thing that I've noticed is most of the Western world is like this, full of information, massive amounts of information. But what I've noticed is there's lots of information and very little practice. And so let me help you out with this idea, just in case you're like, oh, what, I wonder what that means. Who has ever followed an account on Instagram, like a fitness account, but you've not ever actually done any exercise? I'm not condemning anyone this morning. I'm just saying we've all been in that boat. Who has read a million parenting blogs, but you don't actually implement any of those strategies at home and it's wild? Anyone? Who has listened to a million sermons on YouTube or a million podcasts, but you're still really mad at your neighbour? Anyone? Who has ever bought all of the craft materials? Where's my friend Miriam? To knit something or to make something, but actually that was 3 years ago and they're still in the back of the cupboard. Anyone? Right? So much information, so much good intention, very little practice, very little practice. Who has bought a million books and you've got them on your shelf and you're like, I'm going to read this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. There's another one coming from Kurong this week. No, not me, you. They're all starting to gather dust on the bookshelf and you're not actually going to read them. You don't live in a way that you would arrange your time such that you could even read those books, right? Watching cleaning shows, anyone? Marie Kondo, is that how you say it? I don't know. All about the cleaning, but you're not actually sorting out your own house. I see a few kids nudging their mums here, and I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to leave that in your hands this morning. So we want to do or be a certain thing, and we gather information, and we try and understand it, but we rarely get to the practice part. Say to the person next to you, practice. The practice part. And so my plea and my prayer, not just for you guys, because for me as well, for me and my life and my family and our books that are on the dusty shelf and our craft material and all of that, my prayer for us is that we would not be the same with our faith, and that we would not just be a church that comes together on Sundays and accumulates information, but we would be people who put our faith to practice. That is my prayer for the year. God, help us. Please, God, help us. Sometimes we have all the information and we even have the desire and the intent, but we don't always practice. If you've got your Bible this morning, you can turn to James chapter 1. And if you don't, it's cool, it's on the screen. The end of verse 21 says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. This word save is really interesting. When we read that in our Western brains, we're like, oh, the word which can save us. That means if I read the word, if I believe in Jesus, my eternity, like I'm going to heaven, right? That's what we would normally think of. But this word here, save, it actually means, it's not just talking about your eternal situation. It means saving in the sense of a continuous becoming whole. How cool is that? The word implanted in you which can save you, which can bring you to wholeness, which can heal you, which can bring you closer to being Christ-like. I love that. So good. Verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, which Josh read earlier. Do what it says. Everyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, the word of God, that gives freedom and continues doing it with persistence, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do. That is my prayer for us at church. I wonder if this year we could be practitioners of our faith. We don't just talk about it. We don't just come on Sundays and write a few notes and then forget about it once we get to the car park. But we would say, yes, God, we want to be the people who represent Jesus to our community by the practice of our faith. Is anyone up for that with me this year? Some of you are like, Carrie, I'm so tired. Do we have to do another thing? I get it. It's going to be fine. We're going to do it together. It's going to be so wonderful. Because one of the big criticisms of the church, and you know, not that we listen to all of them, because not all of them are true, but one of the big criticisms is you don't practice what you preach. Have you ever heard that? And maybe you've thought about that, about someone that even goes here, about me, about Pip maybe, who knows? They say this, but they don't practice their faith. And that's true for all of us to an extent because nobody is perfect, right? And the cool thing about church, and if you're visiting, you should know this morning that everyone who comes and gathers in this church, no one thinks they're perfect. Everyone is here because they recognize that they need Jesus. So we can remember that. Oh, I just breathed my hair down my throat. It was not good. Okay, so we continue to grow in this thought for the year. And as we hear the word together and as often as possible, we're going to hear a point of action for your week. Because how sad that we would come together on Sundays and hear an amazing word and be inspired and say, yes, God, like send me to the nations. But then like we're not willing to be patient with the person who's like driving out of the car park before us because there was a big gap, but they didn't go. And you're sitting in, anyone? Is that just me? That's happened to me. Like, go, lady, go, you know. None of us here are perfect. And so as it relates to the one, you may have heard the phrase before, temple and table. Has anyone heard that? Pastor Bron and Pastor Darren talked about it last year. And what we mean by this is temple, we see this word in the Bible a lot, particularly in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. Temple meaning the place here that we all gather, the church that we come to, the building that we come to all gather. We know that the church is not the building, but we need a place to be, especially in Armidale when it's like -8. I'm so sorry it was hot last week, by the way. Apparently that was crazy. I'm glad no one passed out. That's good. So temple is here where we gather. We gather together here. We have our morning tea. We hear the word and then we do it even as we're going out of the car park. And then table is what we talk. What we mean by table is when we gather together in our homes. So that might be a connect group for you. That might be you gather together with someone and have coffee and you're talking about how you practice your faith and you're saying, hey, this is hard for me. Can you pray for me? Oh, here we go. Oh, skipped ahead a bit. That's okay. So temple table. In these two places, we want to be practitioners of our faith. We don't just talk about it, but we do it. We put it to practice. So how will we do that? How will we do that? We'll be looking on Sundays as often as possible at the practices of Jesus over this year that will impact our spiritual life. And I'm really excited about it because I heard lots of stuff as a young kid in a Pentecostal church, and thank you God for that, about the power of the Holy Spirit and this and that, but I heard nothing about spiritual disciplines. and nothing about how to pray. And these things are so foundational and beautiful and important. And I'm so sorry if they've been presented to you as anything other than beautiful. But the practices of our faith and the spiritual disciplines are beautiful. And they are something that will deepen our relationship with God and help us to be those people who practice our faith, who do what we say. What we say we think is true. So that's going to be wonderful. We're going to look at practices throughout the year. It's going to be rad. Do people still say rad? James, do people still say rad? Of course. It's a no from this side. It's a yes from this side. Okay. It's going to be rad. It's going to be rad. Tell the person next to you it's going to be rad. It's going to be rad. So as far as temple, when we think about Armidale, we think about like we're very multicultural here. And so with regards to even our place within the chapel, we are different to everyone else. We have people from all sorts of places all over the world. And in fact, everybody that you see here today, we will actually be a completely different group of people next week. So there's lots and lots of people who come and go and from all sorts of, you know, all walks of life. And so we want to be a church that has an intelligent and articulate message of faith in Jesus. We want people to be able to understand, to be able to know what it means to follow Jesus. We want to be intelligent about that. So that's number one. Oh, there we go. We want to be a church that invites. Pastor Darren already talked about that. And what I think is really interesting about this is that we have geared our services, if you are not from a denomination like ours, we have geared our services towards like new people, right? Like we don't want to freak anyone out, 20 minutes worship, blah, blah, blah. And there's a place for that and I'm not bagging it out. But all I'm saying is we've geared ourselves that way, but we don't invite. We're not inviting our friends. And so it's not a kick up the butt for anyone. It's just to say that this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. Even Sundays is an opportunity that you could invite people. And we've talked about practicing what we hear. Cool. Say to the person next to you, that's rad. And we're going to talk about table really quickly before we move on. And we're nearly done today, and then we're going to pray for our friends. Another important consideration for those who, not just for people who love church as we know it on Sundays, or for those who would be willing to come to a church on Sundays, we also want to consider spiritual formation for those who have not been to church. And so in our Western thinking, and you know if this is true or not in your experience, generally what churches do is we wait until someone comes here to the temple and they make a decision because they prayed a special prayer that was invented in the 1300s and we know that they're saved now, and then we start discipling them, right? And it's good. It's nothing bad about that. But what we see Jesus do in the scriptures, which we're going to talk about a lot this year, is that Jesus and the disciples disciple people toward faith. Toward faith. So discipleship begins with your friends who are unsaved and your neighbor who loves your chickens and whatever it is for you. We want to disciple people towards faith, not just wait for them to come to us and to make a decision in this building. And should that happen, thank you God for that. Thank you God. That does happen. But we don't. This is not the way that we see in the Gospels of Jesus. So we're going to look at that a little bit. So let me tell you a story about how we came to this very quickly. A little while ago on Facebook, I posted something along the lines of, "Hello, Armidale friends, if you are not into church, as you know it, but you would be interested in reading the Bible with me and just discussing it, just text me or inbox me." And I was not expecting the response that I got. It was overwhelming. So many messages, even so many comments. And I got one message was from a lady and she said, "Thank you so much for offering this. As someone who does not have a good relationship with the church anymore, I would take you up on this." So the reason I'm telling you this is that I love the church, right? I love it. I love being here on Sundays. You see me, like I love jumping around. It's a little bit wild. I'm sorry about that. I love it. I love being here. I love you guys. I love our church. I love how we work together. I love how we gather together. I love how we sing together. I love how we have all of these things. It's beautiful. It's good. I love the church. But there are those that you know and that I know in our lives that would never set foot in a church but they're curious about Jesus and they're interested in the Bible and they're into spiritual formation, all things spiritual, and they're just waiting for someone to go to them and walk that journey with them. So I just wanted to make that observation for you. There are people in your world that are hungry for spiritual formation, but they're not ready for a church as we know it yet. And so I think that that space within our community is actually important. So what could we do as a church? I'm going to throw something out here this morning that we're going to have a crack at this year. Say have a crack. If you're not from Australia, do you know what that means? We're going to have a go. We're going to give it a go and see what happens. The general church rule is that if you're going to implement a program or something that you don't know whether it'll be successful or not, you just call it a pilot. So this is a pilot, okay? I don't know what we're going to call it, but for now, we're going to call it Church Around a Table. And what I imagine that this would be is that we find a building downtown that's not this building. It's not a cathedral. It's not a church. It's a neutral space. So that someone who is interested in spiritual formation might feel like, oh yeah, I can walk in there, it's fine, everything's going to be fine. And the idea is that we would eat dinner together and that we would read the Bible together and that we would pray for people. Now, here's why that's important. We are very obvious and very conspicuously, what is the word? It is spiritual formation. We're not hiding that at all. This is spiritual formation for people who don't like church. That's what it is. It is reading the Bible. It is discussing the scriptures. It is praying for someone who, for whatever reason, whatever's happening in their life, it is that. We're not shying away from that. But it's in a neutral space so that someone who is not ready to walk into a place like this, we can go to them and begin that work of discipling towards faith. The other cool thing that I see for this is that there are many, many families that you and I know and that we're friends with who have left the church for whatever reason. And that's, you know, they're all stories of their own who also want a place to grow spiritually, but they can't come here. They're not ready. It's too hard. It's too confronting, whatever it is. That's another group that we can meet in that space. And I've already talked to a family who's in that situation. They're like, yes, let's do this. Let's do this. So, church around a table, spiritual formation for people who don't like church. And my hope is that over time, people who have never set foot in a church would experience spiritual formation in that space. Now, like I said, this is a pilot. Let's see how we go for this year. If we need to do something different next year, then let's do it. But one of my friends just said to me, hey, we'll never know if we don't do something different. We'll never know. Part of the reason for this is we are growing big and some of our Sundays are pretty chockers. And the option is to add a second service, right, for Armidale, like a 5 p.m. or whatever, but it would be the same as this one. So that's good, and we would be creating space for ourselves, but we wouldn't be solving the problem and filling that gap of people who desire to know God and desire to understand the Bible and desire to have a spiritual experience that aren't ready to come to church. So let's give this a crack, hey? Give it a crack. Say to the person next to you, give it a crack. And the last thing I want to mention to you briefly is something that Pastor Bron just mentioned called BDC, Building a Discipling Culture. So this is a program that we're going to implement all over our church, which means at youth, for kids as well, we're going to teach them this is how you read the Bible with your friend who isn't a Christian, right? BDC, read the Bible with someone. It's more than reading the Bible with someone, but for the purposes of this morning, this is a goal for us. That imagine, don't freak out. If you're like, no, don't make me, don't freak out. Everything's okay. Everyone's in a different place. Imagine if the majority or even 50% of us here just began to read the Bible with someone who was curious. Imagine how that would just change the atmosphere of our city. Imagine how that would just help disciple them toward faith in Jesus. And should they end up at this church and we're overflowing out the doors and out the windows, praise God. But should they just know God in the space they're in, praise God. Praise God. How good would that be? So we're talking about this in the sense of using the question, and I have a bunch of stories I could tell you about just asking someone that you know, a person of peace. Pastor Bron talked about person of peace. We're going to talk about that again. Just asking someone, hey, I'm looking for someone to read the Bible with. I wonder if you'd be interested. Everyone has said yes to me except one person. People are hungry. People are ready. People are ready. We just need to be brave. Within the course, there's a saying, you just need to make it over the chicken line. And all that means is once you ask the first person, it's easy after that. I wonder if you'd just be brave with me this year, practicing your faith, what you learn here when you walk out into the car park. But not just that, I wonder if you would consider reading the Bible with someone who is already curious about faith, but they're not ready to come to ACC. So we currently had yesterday our first training group. I think we have a picture. Look at these guys. Oh, I know, they're so cool. So this is our first little group, and we're just going to start talking about how do we do that? How do we read the Bible? How do we engage someone who wants to read the Bible with us? What do we say and what do we don't say? And just all of those things. And so that's going to be wonderful. If you are interested in joining us, we're going to just do this training for one term. So you can join us. We are meeting at the Airport Cafe every fortnight just for term one. So really it's only 5 or 6 weeks. If you have space for that in your life and something's stirring within you as we're talking about this, you're like, yes, I'm ready for that, come and see me and we can talk about it together. So both BDC and Church Around the Table are ways of discipling people towards faith in Jesus who might otherwise never become a part of the body or know Jesus at all. Not because the desire isn't there, but because we're waiting for them to come here instead of going to them. So this is not an either-or situation, like I've already said. Temple and table. Temple is important. Meeting together is important. Being encouraged, hearing the word together, opening the scriptures, praying together, this is important. It's important and we love it. We love it. But it's not just this. It can't be just this. That's not practicing our faith. That's going to a meeting. And we want to be people who are willing to do more than that, yeah? Cool. So I'm going to ask the musos to come and we're going to start with praying for our friends. You might see on your seat, you're probably sitting on it if you can't see it. This is, we're going to pray for our unsaved friends and family this morning. And so on your card, who has the pencils? Jojo, could you begin to hand out those pencils there for me? If you need a pen, just throw your hand up. And just begin to think now, who is that person of peace? Who is someone that I know? Who is someone that I know that they're already like know Jesus or they're already interested in faith, but they would never come to a church or maybe they're just unsaved and they just never even thought about God before. We're going to begin to pray for them. On the front of this card, there's a little story and it says this. There was a great preacher called D.L. Moody. Has anyone ever heard of him? Yeah. Who had 100 friends who didn't know Jesus. And he prayed every day, and when one of them became a Christian, he would just tick their name off the list. How good. And by the time he died, 96 of those 100 had given their lives to Jesus. And at his funeral, the final 4 also became Christians. How amazing. The reason that I tell that little story on this card is that persistent prayer matters. In a world drowned in information, like we were just talking about, in a world that wants everything straight away, didn't happen this week, God didn't answer me this week, maybe God's not real, like whatever it is, I wonder if God's calling us to be a people who are persistent in our prayer, persistent in the word, persistent in loving one another. I wonder if you would stand with me this morning. Oh, actually, just take some time now. The band's going to play. Take some time to write some names, have a think if you like. If you want to talk to whoever's next to you about that, that's fine. So what does it mean for ACC to dream big for the one this year? I hope that it's not just mindlessly repeating, oh, we're all about the one this year. And our visitor's like, what? What does that even mean? But I pray that we would become those who genuinely want to know God. And we would deeply desire that for others as well. I I pray that we would not be satisfied with just going to church as a Sunday event, and we would not be satisfied with creating an environment that we're comfortable in, and we would not be satisfied that Jesus saved us but then settle for a life of just waiting. But I pray that we would be those who disciple the one from Monday to Friday in a world that is suspicious of Sundays. Let us be the ones that go. Let us be the ones that go, not at the expense of Sundays, but because we're those who practice our faith. Whenever you're ready, you can stand up with your little card. You can hold it. We're going to pray for our friends now, friends and our family. I'm going to ask Josh and Dan, and these guys are going to pray for us and pray over our friends and family. I'm going to take a moment to do this as well. And when you're ready, you can just stand, and then we're going to worship together.
I'm not usually one for gestures, but let's stand together. Gestures are only important if they mean something, but I wonder if we can either hold your card up or hold it to your chest as we do this. Not a way that doesn't do something magical, but it's a way of saying, I really mean this. I'm really aching for this list of people on this card. And if you're anything like me, and this is a confession, an honest confession before you this morning, I find it easier sometimes in life to believe that it was no problem for God to part the Red Sea or come down from the cross or heal someone of leprosy. I find that easier to believe for and have faith for than some of the names that I've written on my card here. And that's a confession of mine. And that's something that I need to go, you know what, Father, I'm sorry. Because I'm approaching something from a negative faith. Like, I've already answered for them. And I just repent of that right now before you as a church. I repent of that. And if that's something that you've kind of gone, well, look, I've written names down here. I've been praying for some of these names for literally decades. I just want to start again and just refresh and go, you know what, my job is to keep upholding. It's the Father's job to change hearts. But with my half mustard seed, I might join it with your half mustard seed, and we see God work miracles. So, Father, we just, as we hold these cards to our chest, as we hold these cards up high to you, nothing magical about the card, but there is something powerful about deliberately writing down the names of people that we love and even people that we don't love that you've prompted us to pray for anyway, perhaps even enemies, because your word says love those who persecute you. Father, we hold these names dear in our hearts and our minds and our mouths. People that you love, and your heart towards us humans is that not one of us should perish, that you are patient, you are kind, and you are forgiving. So we want to be people who are patient and kind and forgiving and merciful, and like Kerry said, not people who pray once and, oh, God hasn't answered it, that's done, but be persistent in that and have a heart, your heart, for our friends and our family and people we don't even like and sometimes we don't even know.
Yeah, Lord, I just want to pray also for this church, for all the work that it does. We thank you for your blessing of growing us in maturity and numbers. Father, we're soon to be 10 locations under one God. Father, I just pray that you would bring a real unity, a real excitement. I pray that all those places would be somewhere where people could just feel so welcomed. I'm kind of reminded of the prodigal son, Lord, of the father who's sitting, looking out, waiting for his son to return. Father, I just pray that our churches would be like the front porch, that we would just be a place where God would reside and we would allow him to do his work. We would just get out of his way and let him do what he needs to do, and we could just be a welcoming, generous, humble, beautiful place for people to come and step into. and to meet him. Yeah, I just pray for that. Give us the boldness to be that and the joy to be that. Yeah. Yeah, Father. Give us the boldness and strength to do that and give your Spirit's power to lift us into that space. Amen.
Yes, God, we just bring these people before you now. Every name that we've written on these cards, God. And like Dan said, there's nothing special about the cards, but I thank you, God, for your deep love for every person that's written on these cards. I thank you, God, that you already love them, that you're already pursuing them, God. And I pray that you would just help us to recognize, Holy Spirit, where you are already at work in their lives. God, I pray you would help us to be brave. You would help us just to begin to be persistent in prayer, God. I pray you would help us to be those who encourage, who just begin to speak life over people, even circumstances that feel desperate. Jesus, we speak your name over them now. We speak your name, Jesus, over every family represented on these cards. We speak your name, Jesus, over every circumstance for every family, over every place where healing needs to happen. Over every place where relationships need to be restored. Over every place where there is hopelessness. Jesus, we speak your name over that now. God, I pray that hope would begin to rise within families. I pray that hope would begin to rise even in our own hearts as we bring these people before you. This is not too hard for you, God. It is not your will that any should perish. And so as we bring these names before you, God, fill us again with confidence, fill us again with hope, fill us again with excitement for our friends and family who will come to know you as a result of these prayers. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you, God, that you never leave us. Thank you, God, that you haven't said, go and save the world on your own, but you've given us your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Help us to not do any of this on our own. We acknowledge now that there is no power in anything that we would do on our own. But Holy Spirit, we rely on you. We rely on you to do the work. We rely on you to convict and to heal and to inspire hope. We rely on you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are not alone. Thank you, God.